Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Monica at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code Monica for 10% off today. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I am extra excited to share this episode with you. And you have to just trust me when I say this is going to be a favorite. And I know I love all of my guests and I love what I get to do here on the podcast. But this particular conversation with Brant Hansen is extra special. Now, he has been on the podcast before. I know so many of you loved it when we talked about his book, Unoffendable. That was like a favorite episode. But today we are talking about his most recent book called Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance. And it is subtitled Experiencing Real Joy in a World Gone Mad. And I love this book so much, and I love this conversation so much. Brant will say Unoffendable was really talking about the topic of forgiveness. Well, this new book is really about joy and about fighting anxiety with joy. And seriously, he's able to communicate things in such an interesting, insightful, inspiring way. There were so many times, actually, as I edited this, because yes, I have an editor, but I always have to edit before the editor, kind of like when you clean house before the house cleaner comes, you know, somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. But I was going through it just listening, and I, for the first time ever, I think, was taking screen videos of my computer screen during my edits, sending them to friends and family members because I was like, this can't wait until it comes out. This is too good. I have to share it right now. So I think that says a lot, right? Now, briefly, before we jump into this conversation, I just want to thank you guys again and again for your ratings and reviews over on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen. And if you haven't left one yet, it would bless me so much if you just paused right now and you just scroll down on your little phone, find those 5 stars and tap on them. And you can also leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. And I want to share a recent review here with you. This is from Crystal Duelman. And she titled it, Absolutely Love and Enjoy Listening. She gave the podcast 5 stars. Thank you so much, Crystal. And this is what she wrote. Monica is such a wealth of biblical wisdom and encouragement. I enjoy listening to her multiple times a week, gleaning from all that she has to share. Her topics are always helpful and ones that I apply to my daily life as I raise my 2 boys, ages 8 and 5. It would be a dream to sit and have coffee with Monica one day and pick her brain about parenting, marriage, and life. I view her as my virtual spiritual mentor and look forward to every episode she puts out. Thank you for your commitment to this community, Monica, and for being such a great mentor to all of us who listen to your podcast. Well, that just super blesses me. Thank you so much, Crystal. And guess what? Crystal, shoot me an email at aloha@monicaswanson.com. I want to send you a little Starbucks gift card as a thank you. Because if we can't sit over coffee, at least I can send you a coffee. And who knows if maybe one day we will meet in person. Okay. So guys, thanks again for ratings and reviews and for all the ways you help get word out about this podcast. Please continue to tell your friends and family about it. And now, without further ado, let's talk to Brant Hansen about how we can experience real joy in a world gone mad. I hope you're encouraged. Hey, Brant, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
I love talking to you, and I know my listeners are excited because I heard so much feedback after talking to you about your book, Unoffendable.
Cool.
And yeah, it's like a buzzword now. Everybody that I talk to is like, good thing I'm unoffendable right now. Because... So for anyone that missed that, I will link to it in show notes. But you've got another new book out that has just blessed me. I told my husband last night, I was like, oh, I have to read you this line. I read him a line. He's like, well, keep going, keep going. So I ended up reading like full chapter. But before we jump in and talk about this new project, could you tell those who don't know you who you are and a little about you?
Sure. I'm a grandpa. I'll start with that. I'm pretty amped about that. She lives two blocks that way. So it's like... Mm-hmm. So we have two grown-up kids. I've been married for 33 years, coming up on 34, and I'm originally from the Midwest. I write about a lot of different stuff, but one of the things I mentioned is that I'm on the autism spectrum. I was diagnosed years ago, maybe 18, 19 years ago, maybe. And but it's been really helpful to know. And and I'm a radio host, and I'm a writer, so that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And you have a dog named Cozy.
Yeah.
Right?
She's a golden retriever. She's really, really cool. So very helpful.
I might have to steal that name because when I saw pictures of her, like she's beautiful, but she's also just totally a Cozy. Like she fits.
Yeah, she totally is. And I originally took it from Cosette from Les Miserables.
Oh, okay.
But when you actually tell people that, it comes off really pretentious. So forget that. It's just Cozy. No one needs to know that.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love it. Well, as we speak, we're recording a bit before this will release, but your book just released. It's called Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance. And it's subtitled Experiencing Real Joy in a World Gone Mad. I love how you can just say it as it is. It's a crazy world. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us kind of what led to this book after the others you've written? Like, how'd you end up with this?
Yeah, well, in some ways, it's sort of similar to Unoffendable. It's not about anger, though. It's about anxiety, really. And I've been kind of astonished and perplexed and puzzled and all of that by, like, Christians would respond to me on the radio or whatever. I'd be quoting Jesus saying, don't be anxious. Consider mm-hmm. the lilies of the field. Think about the birds of the air. They're not worried about tomorrow. Mm. And I'd mention that, and people actually rebut it. They'll be like, well, right, that's neat, but realistically, we are going to be anxious and worried. I think Jesus is very realistic. I do. I don't think he's doing pie in the sky religion or happy talk. Mm-hmm. And I think he was realistic when he said, in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer or take heart. Mm-hmm. I've overcome the world. Like, I think, like, we think we're supposed to be anxious. Yeah. And the truth is that's not true. And you can become a sort of person who's not an anxious person. I absolutely believe that over time, we just become different. So that's what the book is about. And when I talk about having joy in a world gone mad, and you know this having read the book, when I'm talking about joy, I'm not talking about happy slappy all the time. Like, hey, no matter what. But I do believe there's this pervasive sense of well-being, regardless of circumstances. Mm-hmm. That's Dallas Willard's formulation. A pervasive sense of well-being, regardless of circumstances, that you can experience no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like even if your worst case scenario comes true.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know that, you're playing from a really strong hand in life. Mm-hmm. When you actually believe, this is hard to believe for most of us, but you actually believe that you're safe in this world because you trust God. You're safe. No matter what, even if the worst thing happens, you're still safe.
Wow. That's huge.
So,
that's a good word. I like that word. Just you're safe. Like, and I love that from Unoffendable, it's like, I've been encouraged to think you can actually choose to be that. You can move in that direction. It may not happen overnight.
Yes.
But you can move that direction. And I think you're doing the same thing with this concept of like, what if you consider you've been wrong all this time, that joy isn't based on circumstances, even though most of us would say it's not, most of us live like it is, right?
Right. So, and then it's very, and sometimes we think worrying is actually a righteous thing to do. Like it's the right thing. If we're worried about our kids, we're worried about this could happen, that could happen. Like, but that's not what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And supposed to be so wildly hopeful, even in a culture that's insane, and it is insane.
Yeah.
That people are, why are you hopeful?
Yes.
We're supposed to have reasons. People are supposed to ask us, and we're supposed to be ready with a reason for why we're so hopeful. Like, we're supposed to be really different kind of people.
We are. What is your chapter title that is about that? I love your chapter titles.
I can't remember.
And subtitles. It's oh goodness, I'm going to come to it. But I marked a few of my favorites. You guys, you got to get this book just to read the chapter titles and subtitles, and then you'll want to keep reading. But you've got so chapter 7, just these are a few titles. I'm just going to rattle off a few for fun.
Okay,
about the time my face hit a parked truck. That's a chapter title. Mm-hmm. Chapter 12, the style of God. Loved that. Such an insightful chapter. 13, on the gentle art of freaking people out. That's the word you used.
There
so you said, when we're not freaking out, we freak people out. Talk to us about that.
Because everybody else is looking for peace. Mm-hmm. They cannot find it.
Yeah.
People are anxious. There is an epidemic of anxiety in this country, in our culture, in the, like, so for us to not be anxious really sticks out.
Yes.
And for us to say, well, the Bible says we're not supposed to be anxious for nothing. You know, you're supposed to, I know. But back then they didn't have all this election stuff going on. They didn't have, no, they had worse stuff going on. They had like, as bad as it is, they had, their lifespans were shorter. They were facing diseases without antibiotics. They were like, their mortality rate for children was sky high. Mm-hmm. They were being oppressed by the Romans. Like there's war happening. There's oppression, every ism you can fathom.
Yep.
And Jesus is still saying, you don't need to be worried.
Yeah.
But God himself taking flesh on, giving us a message. And one of the main messages is, trust me, you actually don't need to be worried.
Wow.
I know it's going to look like you should, but you don't need to be. Like, that's a pretty cool thing,
I love
right?
that. I love that. And on that topic of freaking people out, can you tell the story about your little car when you were rear-ended? And how that played out.
Oh, yeah.
That was one I read out loud to my family.
Okay, we're all growing up, right? So this is not me. This is the rare story in there. Most of my stories in there are cringe stories where I'm doing something really embarrassing. But this one, I'm kind of a hero in here. But I just wanted to show how you can kind of become a different sort of person. Bam. So you become a different sort of person over time. So that you react in the moment differently to things.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more second nature. So when I was talking about like just being different, having a more childlike faith where you're able to just be in the moment. Mm-hmm. I was sitting at a stoplight. This was in Champaign, Illinois. And it was the busiest stoplight in town. And I get hit from behind. And it's obviously you just jump out. You're like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. My car's messed up. And I go looking for the guy who gets out is this like 16-year-old from our church. This, and, I mean, the odds are totally against that.
Right.
And I was like, I can't remember what pseudonym I used in the book, but his name is Phil actually.
Yeah. Okay.
And, Phil. Yeah. So I said, Phil, but we both got out like angry, sort of like
in a yeah, ready to.
And there's a huge number of cars around, and I was like, "Phil, bug me, He's like, what? I said, give me a hug. He's like, okay. So we hugged and started laughing. And I high-fived him. Like, I'll talk to you later. And I got back in my car and we drove off. And the joy to me of that was just like freaking everybody out.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, these two guys get out angry and then just hug.
Yeah.
What in the world? At an accident scene? And it was an old Buick LeBaron or LeSabre too, so nobody cared.
Perfect.
But, yeah, whatever.
That was, God helped you through that by putting you in the right car.
I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't thought about that since I wrote that in the book. No one's asked me about that.
Really?
But I like the fact, I'm sure, 100% sure he remembers that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The time he hit an adult.
And everybody else does too that saw it.
Right. I'm sure of it. And he's like, he let me off the hook. And not only that, he gave me a big hug and laughed.
Aw, yeah.
So that's cool. One of the few times I'm like, yeah, I did the right thing. That was good.
Yeah. You renewed a lot of people's hope in humanity. Like that was good. Well, I love it. However, we do still have that very real practical issue of worry.
Yes.
For me,
yes.
Being in my 50s now, it tends to come in the middle of the night and it's hard to think straight, but I love that you use the term outsourcing your worries. How do we outsource our worries?
Yeah. So I got a few very practical things along these lines. But I was listening, it was Tim Ferriss. Do you know who that is? It's like this author, business guy. I don't know what to call him.
Yeah.
Very popular. But he wrote a book called The 4-Hour Work Week, and I was listening to it. And he said that he saves time by outsourcing everything to his personal assistant. So she lines up all his appointments, takes care of everything.
Wow.
And he said, one day I was really worried about something. And so I said to her, hey, can you worry about this today for me? And she said, yeah. And she's like, okay, I will. And the funny thing is he said, you know what? It worked.
I love it.
Yeah, just knowing somebody else was worried for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He felt better.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that's probably because worry, and we know this, like worry is a form of control.
Yeah.
At some level. We think we're controlling something by worrying about what somehow is going to make it better.
Right. But
I was thinking, actually, this is a biblical concept to outsource your worries. Because it literally says Old Testament, New Testament. To cast your cares on him, your worries, your anxieties, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you.
Yep.
So you talk to God in the morning and you say, here's what I've concerned about. Here's what I've been thinking about. I need you to handle that.
Yeah.
I can't handle it. I can't handle it today. I got to focus on today's stuff.
Then
you just focus on whatever comes across your path today. And this is a great way to live. You ask God to give you resources for today.
Yeah.
Jesus is praying. He's like, give us our daily bread. That's your resources.
Yeah.
So for me, it's content for the radio that I have to do. It's social energy. It could be anything that day, but I'm like, please give me that. You have to handle this other stuff because I can't deal with the what ifs of next year.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. I think maybe because I was reading your book right before bed last night, as we record, when I woke up with like, and you know, the thoughts in the night, they always seem like the biggest deal in the world. And then you wake
up
and you're like, that was so dumb. But I just last night was like, okay, Lord, this feels really real, but how about if we talk about it tomorrow? And for right now, I'm just going to hand it off to you. I like visually imagine handing it to him.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I went back to sleep. So,
well, that's awesome. This is not so when people hear that, or if you grow up in religious circles, you hear, oh, cast your anxieties on it, like it's just talk. It's not. If you trust him, it's not. You're actually trusting it, and it's better than a personal assistant because he can actually do something about the thing you're worried about.
Yes.
Like actually intervene and take care of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, this works. Yeah. The other thing that works in tandem with that is gratitude. And that's why there's that scripture, if you think about it, says, be anxious for nothing. This is Paul writing. He's like, these are people facing persecution, by the way. They could be taken away from their families in any moment. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Let God know what you need and then thank him for all he's done. Mm-hmm. And then the peace that exceeds our understanding will guard your heart. Mm-hmm. So it's the, you actually outsource your worry to him, and then you start telling him what you're thankful for. It's mm-hmm. very difficult to be grateful and be really anxious.
Right.
It chases
maybe impossible. Yeah.
Right. Gratitude chases out anger and anxiety. And it literally says that in the Bible, that if you do that, this peace will guard your heart.
Right.
This is the peace that everyone is looking for, by the way. No one it can is. Find it. And this is the way to find it.
Yes. Of you homeschooling or thinking about homeschooling, I want to make sure you go over and check out the diveintomath.com website. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours and the professor over at Dive, and he has done an amazing job of preparing kids well for the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Dr. Shorman teaches with a biblical and historical foundation, which offers the why of learning math. Dr. Shorman uses John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. For your math-minded students, it's hard to find a homeschool curriculum that goes as far as you can find in a traditional school setting, but Dr. Shorman offers all the way through Calculus 2. Also, your kids can earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. And here's an inside scoop. Dr. Shorman's classes are shorter, and the week is shorter than most curriculums I've found, and yet kids learn more. So definitely go over to diveintomath.com, check it out, let me know what you think. Well, friends, I know that many of you are in the perimenopause or menopause season of life, and those of you who aren't there yet want to know how to best prepare for it when your time comes. Well, I have good news for you. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called aptogens. And here's the beauty about aptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible perimenopause and menopause symptoms that can sometimes put a woman's life on hold. Things like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and other not pleasant symptoms. Now, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony, so you might want to check it out for yourself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code Monica at checkout. Again, go to happymammoth.com, use code Monica for 15% off your entire first order. I hope you love it. You talk in chapter, oh, and I was listing your chapter titles, and then I got sidetracked by the freaking out thing, but you in I think it's chapter 16, I took a bunch of notes, and they're just like such a mess, but on this topic of peace, chapter 16 is called One Last Sunset, but you share a list of things to think about, and I love that list just because some of the things like you typically do are a bit quirky. Some of the things you say, I'm not in charge. The Lord is. That's good. He's very, very good is another thing. He doesn't hate me. Like, these are funny, but true. Like, we need to remind ourselves. He right, doesn't right. think I'm a loser. Thank you, Lord, that you don't think I'm a loser. There's a lot I can't control, and that's not a bad thing at all. He's got the big picture. I don't. And you're so right. Gratitude is huge. And I don't know why it's so hard for us to just make it like our default. Why is it so hard? We just can't. Well, I mean, we can. We can.
It's think of it as a discipline.
Yeah.
Think of it. And I don't mean a discipline like takes all the fun out of it. But like you need to practice this. You practice it.
Yeah.
So I heard these neurologists talking about this. And I wrote it in the book because I heard him when I was writing this book. They're Christians. And they said, gratitude is interesting, but a lot of times we don't use our whole brain for it. We'll just use the analytical side. So, which is what I've always done. You just make a list of things you're grateful for, like this and that and this and that and this and that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Like, that's cool, but something else you can do, like when you're lying in bed at night, you can't get to sleep. Have some experiences that you can go to. I bet you can think of one right now, even if you're just listening to this podcast or watching or whatever. Think of something you're really, really glad happened. And it doesn't have to be the biggest, most important moment, but something that was really wonderful. That can be like when you were laughing with a friend so hard, you know, your sides hurt, or when you first met your husband, or that, or a friend. You first met that friend, you didn't know it was going to be your best friend for your life or something. Like when you first, nature, some moment in nature, something beautiful you got to see and do. And they said, just camp out there like 15, 30 seconds and just say, thank you, Lord. Just like live there in that moment and just say, thank you. And you can feel your blood pressure going down, and it involves just your analytical half of your brain, with the other side too. That's more affective, and
because you're like reliving it, kind of. Is that the idea? Is that
yeah? Just go there. It's more of an artistic space. It's more of an emotional space. And I'm not a particularly emotional guy, but I do see a value in that. And then he said, once you like, if you put you write down that. Whatever it was, you write it down on your notes app or something on your phone, write it, you collect some more, keep writing them down over time. And then those are go-to when you have a few seconds to just be grateful.
That's so like, good.
This changes us. This is what makes us different kinds of people. So that you, cause you can't just say, I'm never going to be anxious again. What you have to do is become the sort of person who's not anxious. And this is it's through practicing this stuff that you're actually being transformed.
I love it.
And that, yeah, it's hopeful.
It is hopeful. And it is, it does take practice, but I love that God gives us a brain that we can train. And yet the question might be, and maybe we should have started with this, just in light of the news, the world, the politics you already mentioned, do you have any tips for how you don't let yourself spiral, get it in like, you know, get taken down by the crazy in the world?
Yeah. I know the world's going to be crazy, number one. So I've adjusted my expectations to reality.
That's good.
I know it's messed up. It never has not been messed up. We can be like, but there's a war in the Middle East. Yeah. It's tragic and horrible. I get it. But I can't carry the world. We're not designed for that. So I know that. I also know that what I pay attention to shapes who I'm becoming.
Yes.
So if I'm spending hours paying attention to things that I can't control, guess why I'm anxious? Like, of course I'm going to be anxious. If I pay attention to things that are true about God and his trustworthiness, and I keep bringing my mind back to that stuff, well, that's going to determine who I become too. So that's one thing. The other thing is, honestly, big picture, do you realize you don't control all this stuff? And secondly, it doesn't help them that you just happen to be totally informed. We think it somehow helps. Like, you can't be informed about every tragic problem in the world. And you don't want to go through life this way, because what will happen is, while you're collecting all the information about every crisis worldwide, you've got family that could use all of your attention focused on today.
There we go.
The orbit that you can actually have some influence in. We need you to do that. Like, we need you to inhabit this space. And
so
I'm
telling
you, it's like a classic misdirection, magic trick kind of thing. Like, look over here. And meanwhile, you miss all the good in your own.
100% And you know, that's a spiritual battle kind of thing, that that's not a coincidence. There's like a strategy behind that. And every time we buy into it, we're just given another point to the other team. So,
yeah. And you're like, we need you to be fully you where you are. We miss
that.
Your family misses that. Your friends, your neighbors, who you could have been if you weren't so distracted by anxiety.
I love that. So good. I'm kind of hopping around, because like I said, I took so many notes. Cool. I loved chapter 18, where it's called 0.000 and then a bunch of other numbers, pounds of awesome. And you did star math. But yeah. I think it was really encouraging. So on kind of along these same lines, tell us about your star math. But
well,
don't do too
I got kind of nerdy about that. Yeah. Well, I was thinking one time, I was like, there's 8 billion people. How can God possibly have time for me?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah. And I was like, 8 billion, that's a huge number. Then I started thinking, is it 8 billion? Like, how many neurons do you have in your brain? Mm-hmm. Or this 100 trillion or something? Like, mm-hmm. How many stars in a galaxy? How many galaxies? How many? I don't think 8 billion is a big number to God, actually. It might be small. And then the other thing I was thinking was, he does have time for you and me because he's not bound by time.
Right.
He's not in a hurry. Mm-mm. He's not worried either. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need anything. Yeah. He's not upset. He's not anxious. Mm. He's got time to listen to me, talk to him. Mm-hmm. So by making it a thing where I start the day walking cozy and I'm talking to God and please give me what I need for today. Here's what I'm worried about or could be if you don't handle it. And what are we doing in life together is what we're talking about.
Wow.
He's looking for partners. He always has been. Here's our big chance. So I'm talking to him about that. Like, I don't know how to do all this or make a way for myself. I could just do today's work and then you take care of the career, blah, blah, blah. Cause I can't, and I don't want to. Mm-hmm. So this is an approach. I promise you, if you do it, you will be less anxious. By this, I mean like with your career or the future, mm-hmm. like God, you make the path for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do today.
Today.
Well, then you're a lot less anxious.
Yeah.
And you can totally listen to people.
Mm, right. Which you talk about in the book. People, that's a rare, that right there will freak people out, right?
It will in a wonderful way. We have a big chance here because the world is so anxious and angry and all that. Like if we're different.
Yeah.
Holy cow, do we stick out? So we're like truly aliens and strangers that people are going to be like, there's something about these people.
Yes. And if you have a minute to be like, okay, tell me about it. What's on your mind? And for someone else to have the chance to talk, everyone wants to talk about themselves and their worries. So good.
It's because you're not worried anymore. So people will think it's weird because I know that I told the story in the Bible about Paul and Acts, and I only noticed this while I was writing the book. I don't know. I skipped past this story every time in my life before this, but he's on a ship and it even says there's like 265 people on this ship. There's an exact number.
Yeah.
And they know it's going to crash and they're all going to die. It's a huge storm. They're going down in the Mediterranean Sea. They're going to be crashed against the rocks. Everybody's like, we're dying. They're freaking out, including the captain, everybody. Paul isn't, though, because God specifically told him, yes, the ship is going to crash and wreck, but it'll be destroyed. Everybody's going to be okay. Mm. Now, I bring that up because I was thinking from the perspective of those 264 people, he's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you know the news? We're going to crash. We're going to die. Everybody, the experts say it. Everybody knows it. They're looking at him, and he's like, we're going to be all right.
Wow.
Well, that's he looks like he's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that same reaction in this culture is like, you need to be worked up about this. You need to be anxious. But don't you see what's going on? It's like, I do see that. But I also know how this ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I actually trust the character of God. He's been too good to me. That's why I'm so grateful. And rehearsing my gratitude helps me remember that. Mm-hmm. He's good. I'm not naive. It's not that I know less. It's not that I don't know about all this stuff. It's that I know more.
Yes.
And that more is how this all ends in the goodness of his character.
Mm-hmm. You ask the readers at one point if we had to describe Jesus in one word. And I think it was Dallas Willard that you quoted, but I found that really interesting. Tell us what he says. Yeah. So I liked it. Somebody, I was like,
right. I was like, so they asked, somebody asked Dallas Willard, like, how would you describe Jesus in one word? So you get one word, and I'm a big Dallas Willard fan. You can read up on him sometime, read his books, but
yeah.
He said the word relaxed. Like, of all the words.
Of all the words. But it works.
Relax.
I like it.
It does. It
he's
does.
Not and he's anxious.
He's not. And he's able to focus like a laser on the person in front of him, even in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like the woman who pulls on his garment. Mm-hmm. He's in a giant crowd.
Yeah.
You never hear about the crowd after that. It's just this conversation between him and her.
Yeah.
Everybody else blurs into the background.
Mm-hmm.
He calls her daughter and heals her. Mm. Like, he's relaxed. He's in the moment.
Yeah.
He's not worried. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I mentioned in the book. I was wondering about growing up was why is God so needy? Like, he needs us to tell him how awesome he is all the time. We have to praise God. Praise. He wants us, praise me, praise me, praise me. Like, why does he need that? Like, what kind of ego trip is he on? And I got that question recently from a listener, and I told him, like, hey, I wondered that too when I was a little kid or when I was in high school. The truth is God doesn't need us to praise him. He's not needy. He doesn't need anything. He tells us to do that for our own good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need
it. So when you're singing songs, maybe I'm walking the dog, I'm reciting scripture about how awesome he is, but I'm working on memorizing or sing songs with other people. You gather together to praise him. Mm-hmm. It lowers your blood pressure because you're reminding yourself of how good he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how he's in control. His faithfulness endures. It's new every morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
It puts everything in right perspective.
Totally. This is for us. It gives us a way to, like, remind ourselves of what's really true.
Yes.
What's actually deeply true. More true than the headlines.
Mm. I love it. Well, before we wrap up, one thing you talk about and tell some good stories about is your work with CURE. So we mentioned this in our last interview, but I'd love for you to share a little bit how that has just encouraged you in this area of joy.
Oh, sure. Well, part of the Let's Dance thing in the title, like, I go to these hospitals, it's kids with correctable disabilities, but they have been mocked their entire lives, like made fun of, isolated, kicked out of the community. They're considered cursed. And you go to one of these hospitals, like the one in Niger, on Thursday afternoons, they have a dance party. And they just crank the music. So I've been at these dance parties. It's kids in wheelchairs and canes and walkers and kids that can dance on their own. Some kids you're holding and dancing. But it's a blast. Nobody's trying to be cool. It's nothing but giggles and joy because they're finally not being mocked. They found a place where they're loved, truly safe. And because I get to see all that, I get to be part of that, it's actually really helps me with worrying about stuff because I see how good the kingdom of God is. And I think if people saw that and they got a better picture of what the kingdom of God is like, they would be like, wait a second. It's actually breaking. He's actually doing stuff. It's breaking through in the world. It's just not on the news. We're paying attention to the wrong stuff. But I see his kingdom popping through. And Jesus is even saying it's breaking through and he's healing people. Like, it's an advanced trailer of heaven. That is an advanced trailer of heaven. Big party like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. And you do talk, we already mentioned once, but you do talk about attention and where our attention is the direction we're going to go. But I think if we could all, like, start our day with, like, a video of seeing these kids dance, or, like, how can we, you know, it's up to us how we start our day. Do you want to look at social media? Do you want to turn on the news? Or do you want to be intentional and start your day with worship or getting yourself a right perspective? Because it will change who you become, right?
Yes, right. So getting in those habits. So the first thing I do now is I'll check, like, the verse of the day on the Bible app or whatever. It's not like I'm going to – I don't have the attention span right then to do, like, 15 minutes. But I at least look at that and I think about it and I thank God.
I love that. So doable. And, we can all do that much.
Right. So here's another thing to pay attention to. And this takes a minute to unpack, but I think it's worth it. I mentioned this in the book too. We don't talk about the kingdom of God that much because, for whatever reason, I don't know. It's Jesus's favorite topic. is like, so I feel like it should be ours. We don't talk about it because we're not told about it. But he's like, it's breaking through. It's here. It's available. And he proves it by healing people. I think, I have this theory that when people see the kingdom of God or a little hint of it, they get goosebumps. And it's even non-believers. And so it, my evidence for this is like, if you go on YouTube and you watch a video of like the soldier coming back to surprise his daughter in the classroom.
Yeah. Those are the best.
I mean, I saw one, he walks in, she opens her eyes, everybody's closing their eyes. And he's standing by her desk, crowded classroom. And she can't talk.
Yeah.
And then nothing, she just starts sobbing. She just starts sobbing.
Make me cry right now.
I know, me too. I'm making myself. He picks her up because they're like, she can't believe he's there. She goes completely limp.
Oh.
All of those videos. It's the ones where the dog comes running out because the soldier comes home. It's like, oh, there's this reunion. Or you watch a video of somebody they're able to see for the first time. Or they're hearing, hearing for the first time.
Yeah.
And they start crying.
And I see where you're going. This is the kingdom of heaven. Yes.
Right. Same thing. Olympic opening ceremonies. All the nations gather together in peace. There's a celebration, but there's this processional.
Yes.
Like it gives us goosebumps. An underdog wins at the last second. The last become first. Like, why? Why do all these things give us goosebumps? Even non-believers. And my theory is because we recognize that's home.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we're nostalgic for a place we haven't been yet. And we all resonate with it.
Yeah, we do.
So this kingdom is really beautiful. Think of all the reunions we're going to get to see. People that have gone before, people that were, like, they died, but now they're back. People that can walk and run for the first time, see, hear, dance. It's going to be a crowd going bananas watching some woman who was persecuted her whole life, couldn't walk, now able to dance and have her skin new. And all, like, it's going to be crazy. Like, so whenever there we see that breaking through, it's like goosebumps because his kingdom is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But we don't think about it very much. We need to. We need to focus on that.
We can. We should. It's up to us. And we get ripped off when we don't. We get ripped off when we just tune in to all the same stuff. It's like,
it is a ripoff.
Yeah.
It's a misdirection. It's a sucker punch. Like, look over here and this is where the life is.
Yes. And for those of us who know the Lord and have access to his word, really, there's no excuse. Let's change that. Let's be people that look different to the world. And I think a whole lot of stuff's going to happen because of that.
And you can still be a sinner like me and still keep showing up and partnering with him.
That's right.
I mean, how awesome is that? Like, you just keep going. Like, you don't slink away. Don't slink away in shame. You go toward him and stay with him, and he'll change you over time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a whole lot more and many more great stories. A lot of funny stories, but also a lot of depth in this book. So I'll be linking to it, of course. I also want to stop and thank you so much for endorsing my new book, Becoming Homeschoolers.
Yes, I'm excited about it. What's the street date on this? When is it coming out?
It is May 7th. So, it super blessed me. And I loved that. I don't remember your exact endorsement, but the word joyful was in there. And that was my heart for my book,
too.
Yes,
good. Yes.
Because homeschooling has been a joyful journey for me. And I know that you've been a homeschool family as well. And your kids have done pretty well growing up after being homeschooled. So
turns out, my wife the entire time is like, we're not doing enough of this. We didn't do enough of that. Oh, no, we took 2 weeks off because we had to. No, we're doomed.
Yeah.
And we weren't doomed. It was all good. So you can look back now and go, I didn't need to worry about that.
No. You've done very well. Well, tell people the best place to find you, follow you, for everyone listening.
Sure. Well, Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all that stuff. But my webpage is BrantHanson.com.
Okay.
And it's with an E-N. BrantHanson.com. And if you want to check out Cure, that's the most beautiful picture of Jesus in action I've ever seen in my life. I think you'll agree. It's cure.org, so it's really easy to check out.
Awesome. I'll link to all that in show notes. You're also on Instagram. I am one of our favorite people to follow. So
thank you.
And you're on the radio, and I'll make sure everybody links to all the places they can find you. But thank you so much, Brant. So encouraging to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. God bless you and your family.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And if you did, I would sure appreciate it if you would share it with somebody. You can do so easily by taking a screenshot of your phone and sharing it to social media. If you do, please tag me at @MonicaSwanson_ on Instagram, because I love to say thank you and to reshare those. Also, you can just, you know, tell your friends and family about the podcast, about this episode. You can always send them a link to the show notes as well. And you can find today's show notes at MonicaSwanson.com/Brant-Hansen-joy. That's just J-O-Y, because he's been on before as Brant Hansen. We're adding a little joy to that. And Hansen is spelled H-A-N-S-E-N. Okay, guys, we'll have links. We'll have a few notes over there. Just so appreciate you visiting my website. And while you're over there, have a look around. We've got years of blog posts, recipes, so many good things. So don't be a stranger. Make sure to look around and say hi and just hang out a little bit. Make yourself at home. All right. So thanks so much for being here. We have an amazing lineup for the rest of the spring and already planned into the summer. So keep coming back. Look forward to growing with you here. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.